but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
So much fun. Sports. When did it stop being so much about the sports? We're going to talk with Daniel Levitt of Sportico coming up here in a minute. Sportico had the story, they had the contract between Blueprint Sports and Oregon State that showed it was a bad deal. They released that a few weeks ago. And then the mechanism that I call, if you are somebody who's ever had a sink at your house that has a broken faucet, you ever had one of those, needed a repair, and the sink just goes drip, 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 and nobody seems to want to drip, drip, deal with what's going on, drip, drip, and nobody seems to want to get the thing fixed, and you end up in a situation where you have this drip, drip still going on all this time. That's what happened at Oregon State with this Blueprint Sports deal. It wasn't a great deal at face value. The deputy athletic director, Brent Blaylock, who engineered the deal, I think there was an ego issue going on here at Oregon State. I think Kyle Bjornstad, who built Damnation Collective, really loved Damnation Collective. Like, he built that thing. It was grassroots. He cared about it. He's a former Oregon State athlete. He was doing this because he loves his school. And he built this collective, and then the House versus the NCAA settlement comes in, and suddenly all these collectives are kind of being absorbed by third parties and taken in-house at the schools because they want to use them. They don't want to lose the recurring donations, and they don't want to lose that grassroots feel that makes it feel local. But you can't have, like, a staff. You can't hire, like, four people to do what a collective's supposed to do, and some of these third-party entities do a lot more than that. They hold events. They throw events. They're involved in marketing and sponsorship deals and NIL collectives. And so there's layers to this stuff. And what happened with Blueprint Sports in Oregon State is a cautionary tale. I think there's some of this that's sign of the times. It's complicated. It's new. Some of it is you've got a deputy AD and Brent Blaylock at Oregon State who I think really wanted to show that he knew the NIL space and he could matter there. And then you have Kyle Bjornstad, who just, you know, ran the collective and he loved it so much that it broke his heart, I think, when Blueprint Sports came in and he found out, hey, this is a bad deal. Part of the problem that I saw developing was Blaylock was kind of forced out front to talk about this NIL deal. And he was, you know, even came on the show. And I think paraphrasing here, to what he said was, hey, the first $750,000 goes to Oregon State, and then, you know, the money beyond that $750,000 limit gets split 75-25 in favor of Blueprint, and then everything over $1.15 million is split 50-50. But as you read the contract, it doesn't quite say that. It doesn't quite say that the first $750,000 is untouched and guaranteed. In fact, there's a management fee that is substantial that Oregon State was paying. And so as I laid out today in the piece at johncanzano.com, Blaylock is negotiating his exit at Oregon State. There was a meeting at 11 o'clock this morning. Scott Barnes was in on it. Some university officials were in on it. I assume the general counsel of the school was in on it. They're fashioning Blaylock's departure. They're going to come out at some point and say he's left the university. They parted ways. They wish him well, all that. Also, this deal with Blueprint Sports is being unwound. And I am told that it will likely be announced tomorrow that Blueprint and Oregon State have terminated that deal. I want to bring the guy on from Sportico who brought this story to the forefront by publishing that contract, because without it, it doesn't happen. Daniel Libet of Sportico joining us now. Daniel, I appreciate you, man.
Good to be with you. Appreciate it.
All right, give me an idea. You see this unfolding. The drip, drip, drip of the faucet happens over several weeks after you put that contract out. Do you expect it ends up in this place where Oregon State is kind of quietly backing away from the deal? Or from your vantage point, what's that look like?
Yeah, well, I think the only thing that I was gleaning was I had reached out. I've continued to report on Blueprint kind of writ large, and I had reached out to Oregon State last week asking for just kind of a generic comment on the current state of things going forward, and there was silence. So I thought that was a bit strange. It was sort of teed up for an opportunity to say, yes, we're still happy, and reiterate all the things that they had told folks like yourself and other reporters in Oregon. But yeah, I mean, this has all kind of been a product of miscalculation, certainly with public relations. I mean, keep in mind, university announces this deal. The deal, as is stipulated in the agreement itself, is subject to public disclosure. If you exist in college athletics today, you have to assume that at some point somebody's going to, if not many people, are going to FOIA your contract and publish the terms. And they seem so ill-prepared to defend it or to even really understand it. I was a little surprised. I mean, again, a lot of this context at Oregon State and fan discontent with various things in the athletics department. I assume in happier times, maybe this deal doesn't really ignite the same sort of attention and reaction that it is right now. But yeah, it even caught me a little bit by surprise about when I published my story some weeks ago, how it really kind of set everything on fire in Corvallis and the surrounding parts, because this sounds to me like the kind of agreement we're seeing a lot of. It mimics multimedia rights agreements. So it doesn't, you know, in the larger context, it doesn't seem so shocking, but it's a good opportunity for all of us to take a step back and look at these relationships between third parties and university athletic departments.
Yeah, you've got these athletic departments that are generating hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue, and you have the idea of higher education and higher learning going on in the background, and those missions fly in the face of each other. But how many of these schools, Daniel, how unusual is this? How many schools are going out and getting a third party? How many are trying to do it themselves? You know, there's a Division Street at Oregon. That's a different animal. The Boulevard at SMU is a different animal. But yeah. You know, the space that Lockerverse and Blueprint Sports and some others are playing in, how prevalent is it?
Well, I mean, just in general, I mean, college sports is so addicted to outsourcing. And this has been true forever. I mean, I feel like most times I'm writing a story about a school deciding to outsource something where there's a question of what's the returns, what's the need. I mean, so many times in general, and I'll get kind of back to your more specific question, but so many times in general, I mean, athletic directors' jobs are more contingent, and their sort of careers are more contingent with the relationships that they've built with third parties than with the relationships they've built on their own campuses or among their peers. And so there's nothing unusual about seeing the third party creep for NIL. I'll tell you an anecdote, which is more than ironic right now. In the early days of NIL, back in the summer of 2021, I wrote a story for Sportico about the few universities that were resisting hiring, you know, NIL education consultants. This was the first iteration of this. You know, the NCAA was about to adopt its interim policy. Schools were hiring companies like Open Doors and Altius and Influencer to provide them education on something that hadn't existed, which was
a fascination on its own. And there's a few schools that very proudly defied the trend. So we don't need to go out and hire a third party. We can do this. We have expertise on our campus. We have business schools. We have a law school. We have tons of people. Why would we go farm this out? And I profiled one such school that was sort of resisting this trend, and that school was the University of Arizona, which had sort of created its own joint collaboration between athletics and its law school and its management college, and was very proud that they were not doing what everybody else was doing. And the person overseeing that program at the University of Arizona was its senior associate athletic director, Brent Blaylock, who gave me this great quote. I don't have it right in front of me, but essentially was like, we don't want to be client number 17 of 65 of a third party. This is something we can do all ourselves. So obviously, fast forward, 4.5 years later, and here, there is maybe scandal is too harsh of a word, but there is a dilemma that is unfolded from, Brent Blaylock's deciding and working to farm out these services to a third party. So, in some cases, the addiction to farming out is so prevalent that even those who have at one point in their career testified to not doing it, ultimately, find reason to do it at some point.
The contract, as you review it, it becomes evident that there's nothing in there that says Blueprint guarantees the first $750,000 will go to Oregon State Athletics untouched. There's a management fee in there. And yet it's how that was kind of presented as Oregon State, paraded around after, the documents came out. A little bit surprised to see that. Also hearing that that's how it was presented behind the scenes. Now, I want to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. I mean, is it possible these guys are just not reading the contract close enough or don't really know what they're signing? And, if North Carolina State's in and Penn State's in, we're in too?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's certainly some version of that. I mean, Penn State's contract is behind a black box because the vagaries of public records law in Pennsylvania does not make their document subject. North Carolina State, even though Blueprint has held them out as having a similar relationship with the company as Oregon State or Maryland did, North Carolina State does not have that kind of relationship at all. I mean, they have really no substantive direct relationship. I know Blueprint was endeavoring for that to be the case, but that wasn't the case. Similar with Arkansas. So it's really Maryland and Oregon States. And yeah, I mean, I don't know who wrote this contract and who signed it, or if it was, what the redlining looked like, but it certainly looks like a contract that was much more favorable to Blueprint than it was to the university, and that is a dereliction of duty in some respect for a school to sign something, at least purport that it has certain guarantees. When, to your point, yes, the $750,000 is mentioned once, and it has nothing. There's no caveat language about this being a guarantee or stipulated in order for the other parts of the terms to come into play. So yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly. You're better sourced up into the backstory than I am, but not a good job, to say the least.
I tell you what I think happened. Here's just you and I talking here with a lot of people listening, Daniel. But I think Brent Blaylock, the deputy AD, and Kyle Bjornstad, who had built Damnation Collective, didn't like each other. There was sort of a clash of ego there. They didn't get along. There was a lot of petty stuff that went on behind the scenes. Yeah, Bjornstad was named the general manager. Blaylock apparently refused to put general manager on his season credential, kind of diminished him in that way. It was petty stuff like that. But I think Blaylock wanted to be the master of NIL ceremonies at Oregon State. And Bjornstad was sitting on the side, and he really cared about the collective. He wanted the best deal possible for Oregon State because he wanted his collective to live on. And I think Blaylock went with Blueprint because he had worked with Blueprint before at Arizona. And he didn't like Lockerverse was brought in by Bjornstad as, hey, here's another alternative. So I think they kind of wanted to be his thing. And I think you see that, sometimes with ambition and ego in an athletic department where you got a deputy who wants to be a full AD someday. And I think it got off the rails. I think that's what happened. I don't think there was anything shady about it. I don't think he was getting a kickback. Like, people have suggested that. I think it's just about ego. I think it's Game of Thrones and it's palace intrigue.
Well, and I would say, too, and again, you know, going back to what I was saying before, the incentive structure that makes college athletic administrators care more about their relationships with third parties than with supporters of the current program, boosters, you know, well-intentioned collective operators, is part of the problem. And we see that manifest in, you know, a million different ways in various different athletic departments. I mean, again, yes, if your calling card is you've been the guru of NIL at an Oregon State, like, that's something that you could take with you and build up to, you know, that your next job, a bigger job. And so it's clear why that would be important to someone like Brent Blaylock. But again, this is not in the interest of the university. It's not in the interest of the athletic department. Ultimately, wasn't in the interest of Brent Blaylock, given what has transpired now.
Daniel Libet, Sportico, keep doing what you're doing.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You bet. There he goes. Public records guru, Daniel Libet. Good stuff there. Our Big Splash still ahead. Punch and Audio still ahead. Monday Night Football still ahead. I'm going to be interesting, entertaining. I'm going to tell stories. I want your calls. 503-417-7575. Putting a lot of pressure on myself today.